Rabbi Jacobson is not able to make it today, so I was asked to fill in. And being that we're still within a day, within the Rebbe would always talk about a period within 3 days, any given day, is still connected to that time. So since we're still, especially the first 3 days after Shabbos, is connected to that Shabbos, since this Shabbos was Chavkas Nissan, and the topic of discussion, at least with many of the people that I've encountered, is still, people are still talking about Chavkas Nissan. Even though they're talking about a sikha which took place 10 years ago. So, I'd like to touch on a few related points that perhaps could be useful in our trying to apply the message of that sikha to our lives. As we all know, or at least I hope we all know, on Chavkas Nissan Tavshin Nun Aleph, 10 years ago, the Rebbe spoke then about how he ever expressed his shock and amazement of the fact that 10 Jews are gathered in one place, and many tens of Jews, and yet they do not make the greatest shturim about bringing the Geula, that the Geula has to come immediately. And the Rebbe expressed his frustration and disappointment and said that if people would have demanded the Geula and would say Ad Masai Mitan Emes, really truly expressing their personal frustration with the fact and their disappointment with the fact that it's taking so long, how Ad Masai, till when, how much longer, if people would cry and demand Ad Masai Mitan Emes and really mean it, the Rebbe says Mashiach would have come a long time ago. So the Rebbe goes on, I'm sure you don't have to go into every detail, but the primary bottom line message of the sikha is, and that is the line that is most often quoted, the Rebbe says, well, what can I do to give it over to you and do all that is within your power, you should do all that is within your power in order to bring about the coming of Mashiach. So the faith, so everybody knows the expression Asu Kechal Asher B'Yicholtechem. It appears on many flyers and publications and so on related to Mashiach. Asu Kechal Asher B'Yicholtechem. Do everything that is within your power to bring about the coming of Mashiach. The Rebbe also expressed his fervent wish and hope that there be at least 10 Jews who will insist and be stubbornly committed to doing everything it takes in order to bring about the coming of Mashiach. The Rebbe also, the Rebbe said his participation would be in giving out dollars and making people a shliach, a good stalker, which speeds up the redemption. And then again, the Rebbe expressed his wish that and hope and prayer that there will be one or two or three people that will come up with an etzah, with an idea of what needs to be done and how to do it. The response to this sikha, for those who recall that time, for me actually it was all pretty wild because I was pretty new to Lubavitch at that time. I'd only been coming around for a few months. I started coming in Shvat. So Nissan was only a few months later. And the reaction was shock, devastation. People were fatomo. Here in America, nobody knew how to react. That Shabbos, we heard after Shabbos that in Kfar Chabad someone had gotten up and was crying and screaming. You heard what the Rebbe said. How come we're not making gatherings to figure out what to do? So the next week here in America, they followed suit and they made a gathering as well. And everybody showed up, and there was a whole tumult, what should we do? And they made an organization, which no longer exists, but they made an organization and they signed everybody up. And we gave out lists of possible things that people could do, which probably nobody remembers at this point what it said on those lists and what they wrote and what they signed up for. But at the time, the reaction was shock, and it did jolt people into action to some degree. It was quite an exciting time, as well as a somewhat awesome time. But what I'd like to discuss today is why the shock. Why was everybody so shocked? Why was everybody so surprised? And even today, when people look back at the Sikha, they look at it as, hey, what does it mean? The Rebbe gives it over to us, do everything in your power, who are we, how could we do it? As if like some terrible tragedy took place on this day, that the Rebbe said that he's not doing it himself, and now he's giving it over to us. And the question is, we have to understand just what is the significance. Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? Nobody was quite sure. And at the time, people responded. There were people who came to the Rebbe by dollars, and they said, no, Rebbe, you have to do it. We can't do it. And the Rebbe said, don't tell me what to do. If you come here because you're listening to me, so I'll tell you what to do. And the Rebbe said the same thing the next Shabbos. And people were carrying on, there were arguments, people were saying, you know, we have to do something. Other people were saying, no, we have to put it back on the Rebbe. This is a terrible thing that the Rebbe is putting it on us. We have to convince the Rebbe to take it back. And this is what people were struggling with. And even though people are not as busy with this as they were then, unfortunately, but the fact is that it's still an issue that people struggle with. Like, oy, what did we do wrong? How did this terrible thing happen that the Rebbe said, we always knew the Rebbe was going to bring the Geula, and now this terrible thing happened that the Rebbe said, I'm giving it over to you. Now the truth is that if anybody had been paying any attention, they would have noticed that the Rebbe had been saying this for many years. But unfortunately, we weren't paying that much attention. In fact, 4 years earlier, on Purim, of Tashin Mem Zion, from 1987, it's 4 years before 1991, I think. In Tavshin Mem Zion, the Rebbe spoke about, it was very powerful for Brengen, and it's still powerful to watch on video. The Rebbe spoke then about why is it that the Rambam, which was written many hundreds of years ago, writes in his Laws of Teshuva that a person has to always look at the entire world as if it's hanging in the balance, as if one negative thought or word or deed could tip the world, God forbid, to the negative, and one word, thought, or deed could tip the world to the positive. And the expression that Rambam uses there is not only tip the world to the positive, but to bring tshuva v'hatzola, to bring salvation to the world. A person should look at every deed before they do, every thought, every word they utter, and every action they do. They should think that right now the entire world is hanging in the balance. If I think a good thought, if I say a good thing, I do a good deed, this one little thing could be the thing that tips the world, tips the balance in the favor of the world, and will bring salvation to the world. Rebbe said, this Rambam was written many hundreds of years ago. And we don't find that any Jewish leader should make a big tumult about this Rambam. Okay, the Rambam says it. Obviously people should try to do it. But we don't find that we had many great Jewish leaders since the Rambam. And we don't find that any of them should repeat this Rambam over and over and over again on every occasion, time and time again. Until recently in our times, there's this person who keeps repeating this Rambam over and over, and he doesn't stop. So what's going on? What happened? Why all of a sudden now? The Rebbe said the truth is that the Rambam was based on a Gemara, which is written almost 2,000 years ago. And the Gemara says the same thing. And for 2,000 years we don't find anybody making such a big tumult and such a big deal out of this Gemara and out of this Rambam. So the Rebbe says, what happened now? Why all of a sudden now do we find this person who keeps repeating this and emphasizing this over and over? So the Rebbe explained this as follows. The Rebbe said in earlier generations, people knew that they have their own personal responsibilities. They have their own personal obligations as Jews, and they have their own personal obligations as Hasidim. To live a life of Torah mitzvahs, to live a life according to the teachings of Hasidus, this is something that every Jew knew as their own personal obligation. And people concentrated on fulfilling their own personal obligation. What's going to be with redemption? Who's going to save the world? If I'm going to just sit and worry about doing my own thing, who's going to save the world? Of course I'm busy doing good things. I'm busy doing wonderful things. Who's going to save the world? Hasidim always knew that's the Rebbe's issue. Let the Rebbe worry about how the divine plan will be carried out and fulfilled. That's not my problem. That's not my worry. I'm a private individual. My job is to be connected to and devoted to the Rebbe. My job is to carry out all the things that the Rebbe tells me and teaches me. What will be with the cosmic global plan? That's on the Rebbe's head. Let the Rebbe worry about it. The Rebbe said that was back then. Nowadays, the Rebbe says that won't work out. Why not? The Rebbe says in earlier generations, the discussions between the Chassid and the Rebbe was much deeper. Since the Iskashus was much stronger in earlier generations, the Chassid was much more devoted to and bonded and connected with his Rebbe. Therefore, he could rely totally and completely on his Rebbe as far as what's going to be with the global redemption. And he only had to worry and concentrate on doing what the Rebbe tells him to do and take care of his little corner of the world. There's this nowadays that we don't have that level of discussions anymore. So therefore, each individual can no longer rely on the Rebbe because he doesn't have that level of connection with the Rebbe. And therefore, it is necessary that each individual take responsibility not only for what's doing with themselves, but also for what's doing with the Holy. What's going to be with redemption? What's going to be with Gula? What's going to be with the coming of Mashiach? We can no longer rely on the Rebbe. Now it's up to each individual. That's why the Rebbe explains there's this tremendous emphasis on the power of each individual's, each thought, each deed, each word, each deed. The reason why there's such an emphasis on this is because every person has to think about this because now it's their own personal responsibility. You have to think not only what's doing with yourself, you have to worry about what's doing with the whole world. So, when we look at this explanation, it would seem to be, as those who understood it later, when the Rebbe said this in much stronger terms, on Klopkestness, this would seem to be a negative development, since our generation lacks the prophetess. If we had the prophetess, then it would not be our issue. It would be, we could just concentrate on what we have to do, and the Rebbe would take care of the rest. Since we have this new negative development, that in our generation, Iskashrus is weaker, that being the case, we're stuck. The Rebbe can't, somehow that prevents the Rebbe from doing it for us, and therefore we each have to take care of it, take it upon ourselves, and worry about it ourselves. The Rebbe continues to explain what is different about nowadays, why it's up to each individual. And the next explanation that Rebbe gives seems to explain it as a positive development. The Rebbe explains why it's been given over to each individual in that same sikha of Purim. The Rebbe continues and says, why was this given over to each individual? The Rebbe says, and how can we expect each individual to have the power to bring redemption? The Rebbe says that if the truth is that if we look at the world around us, we'll see that we're living in a whole new world. We'll see that the world has changed. And now it's in the power of each individual to have tremendous impact, and to even have a global impact, to the point that each individual now has the power to bring the redemption. The Rebbe says, how do we see that the world has changed? How do we see that it's a whole new world? So we can say, we play by a whole new set of rules, and now the individual has the power to influence global events. The individual has the power to bring about redemption. The Rebbe says, you want to see how the world has changed? The Rebbe says, a classic example of this is in the area of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Rebbe said, Matan Torah happened many thousands of years ago, and the Rambam wrote many hundreds of years ago, but one of the obligations that fell upon the Jewish people at the time that they were given the Torah is to see to it that the Gentiles keep their Sheva Mitzvahs, that the Gentiles keep their seven laws. This is an obligation upon the Jewish people to see to it that the Goyim keep their seven laws. Ever since we don't find, in the last many hundreds of years, we don't find any Jewish people. There are singular stories, but for the most part, we don't find the Jewish people being involved in trying to influence in any way their Gentile neighbors in the area of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So the question is why? The Rebbe says, he didn't find any halakhic source that disputes the Rambam. There's no halakhic opinion that disagrees with the Rambam and says that it's not the obligation of the Jews. So if there's no one that argues with the Rambam, obviously everybody agrees that it's the obligation of the Jewish people to see to it that everyone keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs. And yet, no one ever did it. So we have this obligation, which people have never been involved in fulfilling that obligation. How could it be? The Rebbe says the answer is very simple. Because we lived in societies where if you would try to talk to your Gentile neighbor about matters of religion, you are risking, you are endangering your life. If you would talk to your Christian neighbor, or your Muslim neighbor, or whatever countries you were in, if you would try to talk to your neighbors about God giving the Torah to the Jewish people and commanding the Gentile people to keep Sheva Mitzvahs, you basically get your head chopped off. Our obligation to see to it that our Gentile neighbors keep the Sheva Mitzvahs does not include having our heads chopped off. So therefore, simply put, the opportunity was not there. And therefore, the obligation was not there. The Rebbe says nowadays, on the other hand, not only is there no danger in talking to a Gentile about the Sheva Mitzvahs, not only is there no danger, but the person who you tell about Sheva Mitzvahs will be grateful that you told them. The Rebbe says, I'm not just talking about gratitude as a feeling. Because how can you measure gratitude as a feeling? How much? The person says thank you, but maybe they really think you. Who knows what? He can smile at you and say thank you. It doesn't mean that they're really grateful. The Rebbe says that the person will feel gratitude to the point that if given an opportunity, if given an opportunity to repay you with a favor, to express their gratitude, if presented with an opportunity to do you a type of begashmi, they will do you that favor out of gratitude to the fact that you told them about Shemit. That's what the Rebbe says, that today the world has changed so dramatically that not only is your life not in danger, and not only would they be appreciative and respectful of what you tell them, they will actually feel gratitude to the point that they will want to have an opportunity to repay your kindness by doing you a favor in return. Now, people who have had the Shemites with the Arabs and have amazing stories tell about that also. Unfortunately, not enough people are involved. But I know people who have done the Shemites with Arabs in Eretz Yisrael, in the territory. They had unbelievable responses. So, the Rebbe says, so here we have a clear test. The Rebbe says, try it out. Don't rely on me. Try it out. Look, the next opportunity you have to talk to a co-worker, a Gentile, when you come into contact, try it out, then you'll see if I'm right. That you'll tell her about Shem Mitzvah in there, and they will express their gratitude to such a degree that given an opportunity to repay that kindness and obtain the Pagashmias, they will do you a favor. Whatever said, this does not mean that when you stop a Gentile on the street and tell them about Shem Mitzvah, that they're going to change their lives immediately. That is, like any educational process, you have to learn about it, it has to be repeated. Just because you tell a child to do something doesn't mean that from now on they're going to do it that way. Education is a process. They have to learn, they have to hear about it, they have to repeat it. It takes time. But the emphasis, but even the first initial mention, the first initial contact will bring in return expressions of gratitude to Gashi. Whatever it says, so you see that the world has changed so dramatically that every person now, until now, the only stories we find about those who were involved in influencing Gentiles were only great leaders, singular individuals. We have singular stories about singular great leaders that had influence on the Gentiles. Great Sandika. This is now every person has the power. Every person has the power to influence the world around them. So that is an indication of the fact that the world has changed to such a degree that now every person has the power to impact on the world in such a way that they can do whatever is needed in order to bring about the ultimate redemption. The Rebbe says is going to illustrate the fact that the world has changed significantly, and that change is in terms of how we can impact on the world. The Rebbe says, this is extrapolating from that our impact is not limited to just a small area, but actually our impact is much larger. In fact, the reality of the world as we know it, you know, the question that was asked is how can you compare the fact that you could influence one guy or two guys or whatever in your immediate environment and impacting on the whole world. But the truth is that if we look at the world around us, we see that this is the actual reality, that in our world there has been, over the past few centuries, a transfer of power from singular individuals, from leaders, from monarchs, from dictators, to ordinary individuals. The power no longer lies in the hand of leaders and kings, dictators. More and more in our world, more and more power is being transferred from leadership to the ordinary individual.
Does that mean that the lack of Kabbalah oil renovation is actually good?
One second, we'll get to that. That's the point that we have to address. But first we just want to illustrate this point a little further. So the whole process of democracy and of all the transitions in world leadership is that our world has become a place where more and more the power is falling into the hands of the ordinary people and less being centralized in the hands of individual leaders. To the point, one of the things that those who are involved in the discussion of politics of the political scene in America, one of the things that the traditional conservative viewpoint bemoan is the fact that more and more the politicians are looking at polls to find out how they should behave. It used to be, even in America, that America was a republic. It's not a true democracy. It's a representative republic, which means you vote for your representative, but you can't tell your representative what to do after you vote for him. Once you vote for the person who represents you, then he has to follow his conscience. So there are people who sit around crafting, remembering the good old days when we used to have statesmen, when we used to have leaders who voted their conscience. They didn't run to the newspaper to read the poll to see what do the people say. In the old days, leaders acted on their own conscience. Now we live in a time, terrible development. What's the terrible development? That the leaders know that they need votes in order to get elected. In order to get votes, you need to have happy people. In order to have happy people, you got to find out what the people want. So the leaders are running around following the people instead of leading the people. Now, in fact, this is mentioned in the Mishnah at the end of Sota as a negative development that will happen at the time immediately before Mashiach comes. It says one of the things that it lists there for Ikvus of the Mashiach, that chutzpah will be very prevalent. Many things are listed there. One of the things that's listed is that Pnei Hadur kipnei Hakel, that the leadership of the generation will be like the face of a dog. What does that mean? So one of the explanations that's given is that in the relationship between a dog and its master, so the master is in charge, and yet when you see people walking their dogs, who walks in front? The dog walks in front. Every other animal, when you want to get the animal to go somewhere, you have to lead the animal. The one animal that runs ahead is the dog. So Pnei Haderek and Pnei Hakelev means, it's amongst the whole list of things of how children won't respect their parents and youth won't respect elders, that the transition of power, the leadership of the generation will be like the face of a dog, meaning that the leaders will be following the people instead of the people following the leader. That's a negative expression of what's actually a positive development. But before we explain why it's actually on a deeper level a positive development, there are more examples. Today, any powerful movement that exists in the world today was not started by great leaders, but was started by ordinary people. All the big movements in the world today, all the big political movements, are started by ordinary people. A lady, God forbid, lost her child to a drunk driver. So she decided to start an organization called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And today, it's one of the most powerful, at least in that area, it's a tremendously powerful organization. And it's run by a bunch of mothers. And the politicians shaking their boots whenever they come and they demand legislation. They get what they want because they're very powerful. The same thing, we have environmental groups, so we have every political group and every political movement in this country, which is the most powerful country in the world. And these movements, which are powerful enough to make the politicians act, are all started by ordinary people. And the same thing happened in Russia. What happened in Russia? The leadership decided communism was over. The leadership didn't want to lead anymore. They didn't want to be dictators anymore. Sure, they wanted to be dictators. Sure, they wanted to have all the privileges and perks. They weren't ready to give it up. The people basically let them know that it's over. The people basically let the leadership know it's over. It's not going to work anymore. And that's it. It was over. What were the leaders going to do? They have to go along with what the people want. And this is happening all around the world in so many different ways. We see the balance of power shifting from singular leaders to individuals. An ordinary labor. So, but back to the Sikha. In order to understand how this is actually a positive development, let's go back to the Sikha. In the Sikha that ever said, one reason why it's now been given over to each individual is because we lack the proper hiskashus to the Neva. That if we had the proper hiskashus to the Neva, then as in previous generations, each individual could worry about their own personal avoida and leave the global concerns to the Neva. Let the Neva take care of the fulfillment of the divine plan and the bringing about of the result. Now, since we lack the proper hiskashus, we can no longer rely on the Neva to do that for us. Now it's up to each individual. So that would seem to be a very negative development. Obviously, hiskashus, good thing. Lack of hiskashus, bad thing. If this is a byproduct of lack of hiskashus, so it's a negative development. But then the Neva goes on to explain how we're living in such wonderful, amazing times that individuals have tremendous power that they never had previously. And now, therefore, we see that people do have the power to do what it takes in order to bring about the Gula, so they don't need it. It's not something that you have to rely only on the Neva, because you're impotent in the sense that you don't have the power. No, we live in a time where every single individual has tremendous power, and therefore,